Rolling Stones magazine released an updated version of the top 500 albums of all time. A list like this was bound to spark controversy, so I'm here to give my opinion on how these albums stack up. I'm Gibbs, and welcome to the Rolling Review.
What is up, everybody? Gibbs here with number 384 on the Rolling Stones top 500 greatest albums of all time list. It's The Kinks with The Kinks Are the Village Green Preservation Society. The Kinks Are the Village Green Preservation Society is the sixth studio album by the English band The Kinks. It was released November 22nd of 1968, recorded February of 1967 at the Village Green, and March through October of 1968. The studio was Pye London. The label was Pye and produced by Ray Davies. So if you remember, we have done a Kinks album before on this list, and it was Something Else by The Kinks. And this was the album that came right after that album. So we are seeing our second Kinks album on this, and this was immediately after the last one that they had put on this list as well. So, speaking of that album, in November of 1966, as the Kinks were starting their sessions for that album, Something Else by the Kinks, Ray began envisioning an LP unified around his newest composition, Village Green, which is often what this album is shortened to. Instead of pronouncing the kind of long for an album name, it's just referred to as Village Green. He considered numerous concepts over time, including writing a piece of musical theater or pantomime, or filming a television special with live bands and an orchestra. The band would shelve the idea while they worked on Something Else, after they deemed it more appropriate for a potential solo album than a Kinks LP. Ray would spend early and mid-1967 increasingly thinking about the form his solo project would take. Press releases in June announced that his solo LP would be released in September, and magazine articles in July and August reported that the album would be made up of orchestra and things like that, ideas and songs, or one with the songs linked up in a musical story. In later interviews, Ray has regularly cited the Kinks' five-year ban from American performance as producing his pivot towards English-focused lyrics. That ban, as he said, came from bad decisions, bad management, and bad luck. Ray also discussed that his childhood had influenced his lyrics' sentiments towards village life. Both Ray and his brother Dave grew up in Fortis Green, a suburban neighborhood of Muswell Hill in North London. Though the area did not have a traditional village green as a common area, Ray has regularly described the area in rural terms and has compared its atmosphere to that of a village. He has also mentioned Waterlow Park in the nearby suburb of Highgate and its small lake as an influence. In writing the songs on Village Green, Ray initially inspired by Dylan Thomas's 1954 radio drama Under Milkwood, a work which focused on the townspeople of a small Welsh town on a typical spring day. English author George Orwell and his 1939 novel Coming Up for Air was also cited as a possible connection slash inspiration for this album. The Kinks first recorded Village Green at the beginning of the sessions for Something Else by The Kinks on November 24th and 25th of 1966. They re-recorded the song in 1967. Though the song was recorded during the sessions for Something Else, Ray did not include it on that album in September of 1967. In November, the Kinks shifted towards working on a project tentatively titled Village Green, and at that time it was still envisioned as Ray Davies' solo project. Ray wrote most of Village Green's songs from late 1967 into 1968, though he later suggested that several had been half-finished from years earlier. He generally composed songs on his Fender Malibu acoustic guitar in his living room at 87 Fortis Green, North London. The band would begin rehearsing Ray's new songs at his home in late 1967, around the same time they stockpiled studio recordings for later use without initially knowing when or in what format they would be released. Mr. Songbird and numerous other songs on Village Green may date to around this period. Between late 1967 and early 1968, the Kinks remained generally inactive as a band. Dave spent more time promoting his recent solo single, Susanna's Still Alive, while Ray wrote weekly songs for the BBC variety series At the 11th Hour between the 30th of December and the 2nd of March. The Kinks began recording Village Green in earnest in March of 1968. Most of the album was recorded in Pi Studio 2, the smaller of two basement studios at Pi's London offices. The band recorded any time they were able to obtain studio time, generally in the late afternoon or in the middle of the night. While Ray produced, Pi's in-house engineers operated the four-track mixing console. The band's longtime engineer, Alan Mack McKenzie, worked on the album until departing from Pi in early 1968. Brian Humphreys engineered from May onward, beginning with the recording of Days. The band's initial 1968 sessions that were in March produced numerous recordings, only some of which ended up on the final album, including Animal Farm and Johnny Thunder. Other tracks on the album, like Berkeley Muse, Did You See His Name, and Rosemary Rose, went unreleased for years. The band also recorded two songs from Dave's next solo single, Lincoln County, backed with There Is No Life Without Love. Pi planned to issue Dave's single in the second week of April at the same time as the Kinks' next single, but the band negotiated with the label to delay the release of Dave's until August. After being quickly written and recorded earlier in March, Wonder Boy was selected by Pi from the available recordings to be the band's next single, despite Ray's protesting that the song was insufficiently commercial for release as a single. Pi would rush release it in the UK on April 5th. Its B-side, Polly, also recorded in March, indicated Ray's continued interest in Under Milk Wood by directly referencing a character in the drama Polly Garter. Though it was moderately advertised and well received by music critics, Wonder Boy flopped in the UK and was the band's worst performing British single since 1964. The failure ended the band's streak of 12 consecutive top 20 hits, the last five of which made it into the top five. It sold 26,000 copies in the UK, roughly one-tenth of each of the band's two most recent singles, Waterloo Sunset, that was released in May 1967, and Autumn Almanac, that was released in October of 1967. Recording for the album paused from the 6th of April all the way to the 28th of April 1968, as the Kinks toured cinemas across the UK, further indicating their diminishing status. The band were unable to support themselves as the headlining act, but instead shared the bill with The Herd. Supporting acts included the Tremellos and Ola and the Janglers, among other groups. Contemporary reviewers criticized the Kinks for their poor stage presence and often inaudible vocals. Dave later recalled that the band were insufficiently rehearsed due to Ray's intense focus on his songwriting and a lack of motivation among the other Kinks. The band would resume work on the album in May of 1968, recording Picture Book, Misty Water, and Pictures in the Sand. After the commercial disappointment of Wonder Boy, Ray opted to record his new composition Days as quickly as possible in order to re-establish the Kinks' status. Recording the song concluded in early June, and it was issued as a single in the UK on the 28th of June. Though the single was not as successful as the band's earliest hits, it received strong airplay and helped them return to the top 20 of the British charts, reaching number 12 and number 14 in Record Retailer and Melody Maker, respectively. Pi Records would allow the band extra time to record more tracks for Village Green and made plans to release the album in September in the lead-up to Christmas of 1968. Throughout the Kinks' career in the 1960s, they were on different record labels in the US and UK and had differing contract schedules between the two countries. By June of 1968, the band were contractually obligated to immediately submit a finished LP to their US label, Reprise Records. Of those songs the band had already recorded except Village Green, Ray sent 15 to the label. The label would title the album Four More Respected Gentlemen in reference to a well-respected man. After Reprise learned about the Kinks' plans for a September release of Village Green, the label planned to not issue Four More Respected Gentlemen immediately, but instead scheduled a November release. The band again took time off from recording for a tour of Sweden from June 8th to June 23rd of 1968. Because of the band's weakening reputation, the booking agencies and the band's new agent Barry Dickens scheduled them to perform at outdoor public parks, seeing it as the only realistic way for the band to turn a profit. After returning from Sweden, the band began rehearsing more songs for Village Green in July at Ray's Fortis Green home. To boost the album's track listing, the Kinks spent most of the second half of July recording the new songs. New tracks included Do You Remember Walter, Wicked Annabella, Starstruck, People Take Pictures of Each Other, and Sitting by the Riverside. In late July, Ray and his family moved out of their Fortis Green home to a larger Tudor house in Borehamwood, Hertfordshire. Ray's previous work had been heavily inspired by life in the original area, not far from his and his brother's childhood home. He later reflected that as soon as he moved into the new house, he felt unhappy. In August of 1968, the Kinks recorded Ray's new composition, The Village Green Preservation Society. Ray intended for the song to be the last recorded for the album, making it a 12-track LP. With its recording, he changed the album's title to The Kinks Are the Village Green Preservation Society and did its final mixing. Publishing was assigned for the LP's songs on the 16th of August. Around that same time, Ray interviewed with Record Mirror and New Musical Express, NME, magazines in anticipation of the album's release, and the album cover was photographed. In September of 1968, with recording for Village Green finished, the Kinks returned to Pi to record Ray's composition, Till Death Do Us Part, for a film of the same name. Extracts from the LP were played by Pi executives at the label's international sales conference held on the 5th and 6th of September at London's Europa Hotel. And around September 11th, Keith Altham of NME listened to a tape of the album at the band's manager's office. Before Altham's favorably reviewed was published in the September 21st issue of NME, Ray had Pi halt the album's production and postpone its planned UK release of September 27th. Ray's reason for delaying Village Green's release is unclear. though Ray would later suggest that he was annoyed that the label demanded hit singles from him and afforded little support for full-length LPs. Due to this annoyance, it was assumed that Ray would withhold from Pye any potential Kinks singles. It was also speculated that Ray May had a desire to increase Village Green's track listing after becoming aware that both The Beatles and the Jimi Hendrix Experience would be issuing double albums. On September 30th, a press release stated that the Kinks' next album would be released in a month as a double record with at least 18 songs. It was thought that it could be a possibility that the album could have 20 songs on two LPs, but sold for the price of one, something they had hoped would give fans more for their money. After Ray suggested the changes to Pye, the label rejected it for financial reasons, but accepted a compromise of a 15-song single-disc LP. The Kinks returned to Pye Studios around October 12th of 1968 to record more tracks for the album, including Big Sky, Last of the Steam-Powered Trains, and All of My Friends Were There, though the latter may have been recorded in July. Ray remixed several songs from the July sessions on October 28th, likely because his original mixes from August had been rushed. He submitted the final tapes to Pye for the 15-track LP in November. In anticipation of the UK release of Village Green, Reprise canceled Four More Respected Gentlemen in October, only a month before its planned release. Village Green is the Kinks' first studio album, which credits Ray Davies as its producer. Halfway through the sessions for Something Else, he and the band's longtime producer, Shel Talmy, experienced a breakdown in their relationship, resulting in a mixture of tracks produced by one or the other. Engineer Brian Humphries later reflected that though Ray was not formally trained as a producer, he had become quite knowledgeable by the time of Village Green, due to his practice of standing behind Talmy during the production process of the band's earlier albums. Ray's production on Village Green is subdued, and his mix is generally light on the bottom end. Ray suggested that he under-recorded the songs either deliberately or out of inexperience, resulting in a demo-like sound. This album uses a variety of contrasting instruments and sounds, such as harmonica, harpsichord, and flute, as well as guitar feedback. The Kinks' recording process generally consisted of laying down the rhythm track first, featuring drums, bass, and Ray on piano or rhythm guitar. The band would next overdub percussion, keyboards, and guitar contribution from Dave before mixing down the recording to make room for vocal contributions. The recordings are generally driven by Ray's 1965 Fender Malibu acoustic guitar, while Dave often supplemented an electric guitar contribution on Ray's 1963 Fender Telecaster, or with one of his own guitars, such as his 1959 Gibson Flying V or Guild Starfire 3. Dave's typical Vox AC30 amplifier was likely used for most of the tracks, though the long sustain heard on Wicked Annabella suggests the use of an early-era solid-state amplifier. Four microphones would be placed around Avery's drum kit, and Pete Quaff's Rickenbacker bass was plugged directly into the mixing decks. Avery altered his drum sound on Wicked Annabella and Picture Book by disengaging the snare and deadened the sound on Phenomenal Cat by placing newspaper over a floor tom. Among the songs on Village Green with real string sections are Village Green and possibly Animal Farm, as arranged by English composer David Whittaker. String and brass sections are generally absent from the Kinks' late 1960s recordings, likely because Pye executives saw the hiring of an arranger and session players as too expensive to warrant. To save cost, the album would employ the use of a Mellotron as an inexpensive alternative. It's a predecessor to the synthesizer. The Mellotron is a keyboard instrument on which the keys trigger tape loops of recordings of a variety of instruments, enabling its user to play keyboard parts using those voices. Ray was introduced to the instrument in May of 1967 while visiting the home of Graham Nash, a member of the contemporary English rock band The Hollies. He purchased his own soon after and likely first employed it in early June of 1967 on the Kinks song Lazy Old Sun. The sounds it mimics on Village Green include a horn section on Do You Remember Walter, accordion on Sitting by the Riverside, and flute on Phenomenal Cat, among others. Session musician Nicky Hopkins contributed extensive keyboard work on the album on piano, harpsichord, and mellotron. Hopkins had first contributed to a Kinks LP in 1965 on the Kinks Controversy, and his playing featured heavily on the band's releases to 1968. He later estimated he played about 70% of the LP's keyboard work, while Ray played the rest, though the album's liner notes credit all the keyboard playing to Ray. Ray sings lead on each song except Wicked Annabella, where Dave sings lead. Ray's vocals is generally double-tracked throughout. The group sang harmony vocals together, often supplemented by a falsetto from Ray's wife, Rasa Davies, who had sung backing vocals on all of the band's studio albums to that point. Typical of the band's vocal works, their barbershop harmonies include falsettos and wordless sounds like La La on Village Green, Nana on Picture Book, and Baba on Johnny Thunder, or nonsense phrases like fum fum diddle dee on Phenomenal Cat. When the Kinks rehearsed and recorded Ray's new compositions, he typically avoided sharing the song's lyrics or melody with his bandmates. Avery suggested the practice arose out of Ray's paranoia that his songs would be stolen, while Quaff ascribed it to Ray playing silly buggers. Both Avery and Quaff recalled being annoyed by the method since it prevented them from easily adding fills and embellishments that fitted the song. Ray explained to his bandmates that he wanted the songs on Village Green to relate to a single subject, but he otherwise remained secretive about the details. Quaff later stated that the band began to understand the album's message once several compositions had been finished, and that about the time of Animal Farm, it had all clicked. In contrast to the Kinks' work under Tommy, Ray ensured that the group ran through numerous takes of songs on Village Green. Avery recalled that after Tommy's departure, the group spent more time collaborating and fleshing out the sound in the studio. All group members contributed to the recording process, though Ray held final say over all decisions. He required all band members to attend all sessions, regardless of whether they were expected to play on a particular part of song. By 1968, the Kinks had developed a reputation for group infighting, especially between Ray and Dave, and the group sometimes broke into physical altercations during rehearsals, recording sessions, and concerts. Rasa, Ray's wife, would usually serve as an intermediary in the studio between Ray and his bandmates. Tensions within the group culminated on May 27th of 1968 during a session for Days, during which Ray and Quaff argued before the latter left the studio. Quaff remained unhappy following the incident, and he later recalled that he and Ray remained distant from one another during the band's June tour of Sweden. Tensions in the group eased after the Kinks returned to England and resumed recording in July, at which time Ray reluctantly allowed for more creative input from his bandmates. Avery recalled it was the first time in the group's history that they worked together during recordings. Quaff was unsure what precipitated Ray's change, but remembered the period as being amazing, with a lightened up Ray allowing them to suggest things during both the rehearsals and recording process. He further remembered Ray's reluctance returning near the end of the album's recording sessions. Though Quaff departed the Kinks roughly 4 months after the release of Village Green, he reflected decades later that the album was the high point of his career, mostly due to the collaborative nature of its recording. I was able to find kind of a track-by-track breakdown, so we'll go through that now. In a contemporary interview, Ray explained that he composed the Village Green Preservation Society after someone suggested to him that the Kinks had been preserving nice things from the past. The song states the band's intentions to preserve things and consist of listing of British institutions to be saved for posterity, including vaudeville, the George Cross Medal, and its recipients, Drought Beer and Virginity, among others. Ray subsequently described the song as the album's national anthem. Employing a simple composition, its arrangement is defined by Avery's drumming and the similarity light and effective piano contribution. Ray and Dave closely harmonize throughout, while Ray's voice is emphasized at the midway point and its closing. Do you remember Walter? Ray was inspired to compose Do You Remember Walter after running into a childhood friend and finding they no longer had anything in common. The singer recalls his and Walter's various childhood exploits, which he contrasts against the older Walter, who expects is now fat and married. He mocks Walter's early bedtime while he imagines that Walter would be uninterested in his reminiscing of the past. In a November 1968 interview with Melody Maker, Ray stated that the song's message was summarized in its closing line, quote, "People often change, but memories of people can remain," end quote. After opening with a machine gun drumming, the song is defined by a dominant piano and bass guitar alongside snare rolls. Picture Book describes an aging narrator's experience flipping through a photo album reflecting unhappy memories from a long time ago. The vocals include wordless barbershop-like harmonies as well as Ray singing Scooby-Dooby-Doo in reference to Frank Sinatra's 1966 singles Strangers in the Night. The song employs two acoustic guitars and an overdubbed electric. Quaff doubles Ray's rhythm guitar with his bass in playing the song's distinctive hook. Unlike most of the album's songs, its mix emphasizes the low end, particularly the bass guitar and Avery's drums, the latter of which critic Stuart Mason terms cleverly sloppy. Johnny Thunder. Ray composed Johnny Thunder after watching Laszlo Benedict's 1953 film The Wild One, which had been banned by British censors until February of 1968. Like the film's lead character, Johnny, played by Marlon Brando, Johnny Thunder is a rebellious biker and an enemy of conformity. A straightforward rock song, the recording joins acoustic guitars, bass, and drums with an electric guitar contribution by Dave, who plays the counter melody low in the mix. The backing vocals are wordless and imitate the sound of a brass section, while it is one of the few instances on the album of Ray's lead vocals not being double-tracked. Last of the Steam-Powered Trains is likely the last song Ray wrote for Village Green. Its lyrics describe a steam train that has outlived its usefulness and moved to a museum. The composition coincided with a years-long reduction in the British railway network and the replacement of steam trains by diesel engines, a change which went into effect 2 months before the song's recording. Based around the riff of Howlin' Wolf's 1956 song Smokestack Lightning, a popular recording among early 1960s British R&B groups, the song recalls the Kinks' roots as an R&B-focused band. Several commentators regard the song as Ray's criticism of early British R&B groups for being inauthentic compared to the American blues artists who wrote many of the songs they recorded, while others think it expresses his feelings of disconnect from contemporary culture. Ray composed Big Sky in late January of 1968 while attending the second annual MIDEM Festival, a music publishers gathering held in Cannes, France. While watching the sunrise from his balcony at the Carlton Hotel, he noticed the businessmen walking below, a moment which inspired the line, quote, "Big sky looking down on all the people," end quote. While Ray is typically coy about interpreting the song's meaning, retrospective commentators often interpret it as describing God as unsympathetic towards the problems of humans. Ray's lead vocal alternates between singing, speaking, and harmonizing with Dave, while Raza contributes in wordless falsetto harmony. Ray compared his spoken lyric to the voice of God, and Dave later suggested that Ray was impersonating American actor Burt Lancaster. Sitting by the Riverside joins Honky Tonk Piano with an accordion produced via Mellotron. The singer enjoys the calmness and warmth offered by a pastoral setting before closing his eyes, results in a rush of overwhelming memories and fear. Accompanying the eye-closing moment is a swelling cacophony reminiscent of the orchestral crescendos heard in the Beatles' 1967 song A Day in the Life. When the singer reopens his eyes, he is overtaken by the area's splendor. Ray would describe the composition as a fishing song and related it to his time spent fishing when he was a child. Animal Farm. Side 2 of the LP opens with Animal Farm. While its title references Orwell's 1945 novella of the same name, the song does not relate to the book's dystopic themes, but instead displays an anti-urban theme. The song's narrator expresses feelings of pastoral bliss, recalling an earlier time when he was happy living a simple life on a small farm. He yearns for his idealist world where people can be authentic rather than insincere actors. Recorded in Pi Studios' bigger studio, Number 1, the song has a larger sound than the rest of the album, featuring reverb on the drums, percussion, and tack piano. Ray composed Village Green in August of 1966 while touring in rural England. He later recalled the song spawning from his disappointment after finding out that the beer at a pub was stored in a pressurized metal keg rather than in a traditional wooden barrel. The song's lyrics lament the decline of a fictional English community's traditional Village Green. The singer mourns the town's invasion by American tourists and the community's cheapening atmosphere, while remembering it as the place he left his romantic love, Daisy. He declares that he will return to see Daisy so that they can reminisce about the green as it was. The composition and instrumentation of Village Green evoke Baroque music. Hopkins played the featured harpsichord, and Whitaker's orchestral arrangement features oboe, cello, viola, and piccolo, all played by session musicians. Starstruck. Ray later said he wrote Starstruck as a tribute to his favorite Motown groups, including the Four Tops and the Temptations, and it is said that it has a slight resemblance to the Four Tops' 1965 single, It's the Same Old Song. In this song, the singer politely chastises a female listener for failing to distinguish between stardom and real life, and further warns her about the risk of the big city. Phenomenal Cat tells the story of a flying cat who visited exotic places like Kathmandu and Hong Kong. After discovering the secret of life, he decides to spend the rest of his life eating. Ray's lead vocals is double-tracked while Dave sings as the cat, his voice altered by recording the master tape slowly and then playing it sped up. All of My Friends Were There was inspired by a Kinks concert at Rectory Field in Blackheath, London on July 1st of 1967. Ray later recalled falling ill with a fever, but the event organizers persuaded him to perform due to the agreed contract. In the song, the singer describes his embarrassment after his friends attend his missed performance. After struggling during his next show, he goes to the cafe he frequented during happier times in his life, only to find all of his friends were there as well. Wicked Annabella features Dave's only lead vocal contribution on the album. His voice is double-tracked and ranges from frightened whispers to raging screams. The lyrics recount the deeds of a local witch as a warning to children to stay in their beds and avoid the woods. In his 1968 interview with Melody Maker, Ray suggested the recording was his attempt at getting a song to sound as horrible as it could, resulting in an overall rude sound. Employing guitar feedback, the song's main riff is reminiscent of The Doors' 1967 song Light My Fire, while its conclusion of interplay between drums and guitar features Dave's laughter and heavy echo and reverb. Monica is a calypso number, a genre Ray first explored in his 1965 song I'm on an Island. The composition incorporates Caribbean themes and jazz tempo changes, while the recording features acoustic guitar, congas, and organ. The song was possibly inspired by the character Polly Garton from Thomas's Under Milkwood. The lyrics are a serenade for a prostitute. In order to avert a radio ban, Ray was deliberately subtle in his writing and never directly mentions her profession. People Take Pictures of Each Other satirizes the absurdity of using photographs to prove one's existence. Ray was inspired to write the song after he attended a wedding and found it strange that the newlywed couple took turns photographing one another. Its lyrics recall the oak tree from Village Green and the theme of photography from Picture Book. This track employs a quickly strummed acoustic guitar and a fast, breathless vocal from Ray. Hopkins also played the harpsichord on this album. The album cover was photographed in mid-August of 1968 during a photo session outside Kenwood House in Hampstead Heath, northwest London. Pye's in-house photographer John Prosser and Barry Wenzel of Melody Maker photographed the session. After drinking tea on the terrace with the photographers, the band were photographed in their casual attire walking through the heath's long uncut grass to emphasize a country feel. The album had very successful releases in the US and in the UK, with critics really enjoying this album. And in the decades after its release, Village Green has developed quite a cult following, with many citing this as being the Kinks' best album. Even famous artists from other groups, you had Pete Townshend of The Who would later describe Ray's work as his masterwork and his Sgt. Pepper. The album themes resonate with British bands in the mid-1970s who rose to prominence during the New Wave movement, like The Jam, XTC, Squeeze, and Madness. In the 1990s, as Britpop groups sought to emphasize their Englishness through their music, Village Green inspired bands like Blur, Oasis, and Pulp. Noel Gallagher of Oasis and Blur guitarist Graham Coxon each named the album as one of their favorites. It has been a major influence on Blur's principal songwriter Damon Albarn, who expressed a similar sentiments of nostalgia for a past England on Blur's albums Modern Life is Rubbish and Park Life, which Park Life was one of the albums that we had went through on this list as well. You also have this album appearing on many professional rankings of the best albums. The album was voted number 221 in the first edition of English writer Colin Larkin's all-time top 1,000 albums that was released in 1994. It placed at number 171 and number 141 in Larkin's updated second and third editions published in 98 and 2000. In 2003, Rolling Stone placed it at number 255 in the magazine's list of 500 greatest albums of all time. When the list was updated in 2012 and 2020, it would be placed at number 258, and then now, of course, falling all the way down to 384. Rolling Stone also ranked it as number 28 on its 50 Greatest Concept Albums of All Time list in 2022. In Pitchfork and Pace lists of best albums of the 1960s, they place Village Green at number 27 and number 18. As far as charts go, it did land on a few charts. It peaked at 131 on the Belgium year-end chart, 124 on the Belgian albums, number 84 on the German albums, 50 Spanish albums, 47 UK albums, and it also earned a gold certification in the United Kingdom. When placing this album on the list, Rolling Stone had this to say about it, quote, "While their British invasion peers, the Beatles, the Stones, the Who, were getting psychedelic, Ray Davies took his band for a pastoral retreat, with witty portraits of quaint English small-town life fading away like Big Sky. Nobody brought it, but Village Green went on to become one of the King's most influential statements. With You Really Got Me and All Day and All Night, we were saying, we're here, we're gonna grab you," Davies told Rolling Stone. "The music on Village Green says, come find us," end quote. So I personally wasn't a huge fan of this album. It was all right. I will say that I do think this was a better album than their other album that they had included in on this list. I did had a few notes on it. I had heard Picture Book before. I believe that's kind of one of their more famous songs. And my only other note was that I liked the bluesy riff of Last of the Steam-Powered Trains, which we did go through and talk about how that was one of their more bluesy songs, and I did like that one because it kind of stuck out. I did notice throughout this album that, you know, when I think the Kinks, and it mentioned the use of synthesizers and use of session musicians and things like that, when I think the Kinks, I don't initially think that, so this was a different sound coming from the Kinks, at least from my perspective of what I had known the Kinks to be. So it was kind of cool to see how the band had progressed at a time. But also this kind of turns into a, they had nothing else left to lose, really, because when you read about the making of this album and what went into things before this album, their popularity was definitely declining. So I feel like they were able to maybe step outside themselves a little bit and take a more of a risk musically than maybe they would have otherwise, because their popularity was in decline. And so it was kind of, you know, we'll put this out and do it our way. And it's obviously an influential album, so that's going to give it a lot more credit than what I initially was going to give this, because I think this is an album that would have slid not super far down. I didn't hate this album by any means. Most of this album I thought was just okay. I was just listening to this album and enjoying this album. It wasn't something that things really stood out to me that I felt that I needed to make note about. And it wasn't bad to where I wanted to be done listening to this album. It was just an okay album for me, but obviously many others cited as something more influential. And I think that is an attest to the worldwide impact, because as an American and as someone who knows more about how music industry works in America, this wasn't maybe a prominent piece over here, but I obviously understand that the Kinks were probably a way bigger deal in the United Kingdom. So maybe if you are from the United Kingdom, you feel way differently about this album than what I would do. So maybe it's not completely fair judging just because it's one of those albums that kind of had a regional impact outside of the United States. So maybe I don't fully understand the big picture there. So I think it moves down for me still. It's just it doesn't take that dip that maybe I would have given it if I wouldn't have known the impact and influence that it had on so many other artists. So I'm looking at moving this down to 390 for the time being, because it kind of reminds me of that Pixies album where the Pixies were definitely influential to a new wave of music and many artists that came after them. They had that influence. So it kind of reminds me of that because they said this album kind of had its underground cult following and it had the influence on many musicians. And obviously you have big time musicians like Pete Townsend out there comparing it to a Sgt. Pepper's. So you definitely have to give the Kinks credit here. And I have to recognize that maybe I just didn't hear it, but at the time this was something very influential. And it goes on to really inspire the people of English backgrounds who go on to make music. So I'm giving it credit still. I'm just bumping it down a little farther, 390. That puts it in front of the Pixies, Surfer Rosa, but just behind the Go-Go's Beauty and the Beat. So that's where it's going to be for right now. Would love to know what you think about it. You can let me know by reaching out to therollingreview@yahoo.com. Going over to Facebook, searching at The Rolling Review, and you can see the updated version of the list there that we've been working on so far. You can drop likes and comments there if you would like to. I appreciate you all listening. Next time at 383, we have Massive Attack with Mezzanine. So until then, I'm Gibbs. This is The Rolling Review. Stay safe and be kind.